May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, this morning I'm going to read, think about the first reading, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 28. You know, the trouble with St. Paul is that he was a university professor before he was converted. And he does tend to write in very literary English. Well, I should say Greek, I suppose. And therefore, our passage today is very tightly packed thinking. To sum it up, our message from heaven for today has three basic things to say. First of all, we find the answer to the question, who is Jesus? Secondly, the answer to the question, who are we? And thirdly, a summing up of our mission and purpose in the world. So in fact, that short passage has most important things to say. First of all, who is Jesus? And that's summed up in verse 19, where it says, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Now, we get used to the Bible, but that's a startling statement, and one that I, for one, find it difficult to get my mind around. So often I think of Jesus as the best man who ever lived, as God's representative here on earth, and the one who died in my place outside a city wall. But the fact is that that just is not enough. It's not adequate as a description of who Jesus really is and who he was when he walked in Galilee and in Jerusalem. For we are told in verse 19 that God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. And that means that absolutely everything that we can conceive or imagine about God, the creator and sustainer of all the universes and of our own universe within it all, that marvelous and incredibly great God, was actually here on earth in the carpenter of Nazareth. In other words, he to whom perhaps as a kid we used to pray, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is in fact then and now the power that keeps everything going, all that is and ever was. Who is Jesus? He is the eternal God. And when we talk with him day by day in prayer, we are interacting with somebody who is beyond our dreams, beyond our imaginings, and yet is ready to hear us and loves each one of us tenderly and personally. This is our Jesus. But secondly, who are we? This is summarized in verse 22. He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you without blemish and free of accusation. In other words, to simplify it, The loving God has hugged us to himself. Hugged us to himself. Because we are acceptable. In view of the fact that in Jesus, all our sins and inadequacies have been done away. And in God's eyes, you and I, are without a mark of sin on us. Now that's amazing, isn't it? But that's how God sees us. You may mess things up tomorrow, but God will see you as without sin. We are acceptable and hugged and loved. We are his very dear children. What a fact to think about. Amazing. But thirdly, what are we for? What is our mission and purpose in life in God's eyes? Now, of course, one of the primary things we're called to do is to fulfill whatever is our job in life, whether we're retired or whether we're disabled or whether we're at work every day from 9 to 5 or 8 to 7 or however long it is. That's part of our work. God wants us to make his world a better place, and we do that through our daily work. But also, verse 27, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, to simplify, you and I are God's representatives in his world. Christ lives in us by his Holy Spirit. Just think of that. Christ Jesus lives in you and in me. And we are called ambassadors, sent by our dear Father to share with others the story of Jesus and how other people can also come to know the Lord Jesus in them as their forgiving Saviour and their eternal friend. What a message. And how worth wrestling with St. Paul's words. Who is God? Who are you? So important. You are to him. And what are you for? What am I for? Amen.